Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Well, good morning. This is Jake Spurgeon here, and I am filling in for Scott Mosby. He's going to take the day off. But I am here to answer your calls that you have about your home improvements, and hopefully if you are doing improvements, you're staying out of the heat a little bit or got them already done, because it's almost past 11 and we want you to get those done before the heat of the day sets in.
It'd be a great day to work in the basement today, I think.
It would be a great day to work in a basement.
That'd be the perfect project for you, working in the basement today. Yeah, so if you want to call in and have your questions for Jake, you can call in 314-436-7900. We'll get you queued up for him.
Well, it's funny you mentioned lower levels and basements, because that's a great thing to think about right now for the colder months that will be here before we know it.
You know, I could plug you for questions about ours. We have a walkout basement, and the back of it is framed instead of being concrete.
Okay.
And so we have some concerns about some water that may be getting in under that framing. I don't think there was any flashing put in there.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, when the home was built. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in the St. Louis area with maybe construction that's been built in the last 10 years that have that problem. Do you see that quite frequently?
A little bit. Usually in that 10-year time frame, homeowners are not too concerned because it's a new home. They don't have a lot of concerns about it. But it's always important that, you know, keep a lookout around your property and make sure the space is up to snuff.
Well, and I'm sure with the rain that we've had and the heat, what kinds of problems does that cause for homes?
Usually the rain, the biggest issue we're going to find is around windows that might be leaking, doors, basements are a big area. You just want to keep an eye on those spots and just make sure the flashing and caulking and everything that you have is good to go.
And when we talk about those kind of projects, is that something that the average homeowner can do, or is that something that you need to call that professional in to do for you?
Sometimes it's something that you can address and you can take care of, but I always recommend to have a professional come out, take a look at it, and give their expert advice.
I wholeheartedly agree. Because there's nothing worse than digging into a project and then you realize you are way over your head, and maybe you've done more damage than was there in the first place.
Yeah. It's important to really have a team of individuals that have the right processes in place, that have the right experts, come over, assess what needs to be done, and then go from there.
Now for you, Jake, what is your title and duties at Mosby Building Arts?
I am actually a designer and home consultant for Mosby. So if you call us up or have a project that you're thinking about or something you're concerned about that might be causing some damage in your home, or if you want to remodel a space and update it or add on to your home, I would be an individual that would come out, talk with you about the project, talk with you about what needs to be done, and then kind of go over and create designs.
Okay. Well, if you have questions for Jake this morning, you can join us on the Helitech Home Improvement Show. 314-436-7900 is the number to call in and join us.
Well, we're waiting for your calls, and we're really excited, but I would love to talk a little bit more about basements in a little bit and see if you guys have questions, do call. But basements are a great space to finish and, you know, create some additional square footage that you have in your home. When the wintertime comes and you're all kind of stuck inside, it's nice to, you know, create a bar area or a lower level theater, some fun stuff that you can do there.
You know, the one thing that I'm curious about when it comes to basements and codes around the St. Louis area, I've seen a number of pictures of families who have maybe put up walls but not put in any kind of drop ceiling. Maybe they've painted the floor joists above them. Is that something that follows under code? Is that proper to do? Is it ideal to do?
Well, a lot of individuals may not add a finished ceiling in their basement, and it kind of gives that industrial look that individuals love.
It does. It's kind of a loft look, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, it is okay to do that. You don't have to add a ceiling to a basement. What I see a lot of homeowners ask for, though, is a painted ceiling in the basement. You know, paint the floor joists and the wires and the plumbing. And it's okay to do that, but you cannot paint the wires or the plumbing lines. That is what's not allowed. You need to be able to see those wires and the markings and the dates and the specifications on those products.
I think a lot of people go into maybe restaurants or other spaces, commercial spaces, and they see everything painted like that. And then they would assume they could do that in their own basement. So how do you mark those off so that you don't just wrap them up before you paint?
Usually most homeowners, we have to tell them that we have to mask off those areas so they don't get paint on them. And then when they find that out, they just decide either to not paint at all or to do a finished drop ceiling or drywall ceiling.
Because of the look of those exposed wires and pipes.
That's going to ruin their look.
Exactly.
Well, we do have a caller, Richard, who has looks like he has a plumbing question. Richard, are you there? Hello, Richard?
Yes.
How are you doing today, sir?
Just fine, sir. And how about you?
I'm doing excellent. Staying cool in the indoors right now.
I have a question about a code on plumbing. I have a commode, of course, with the stack. Can I live, my house is on a slab. And I'm wondering if I can put a bathtub and contain it with the stack that's already there. Is that not code or?
No, you can usually tie into your toilet stack is going to be using the largest diameter waistline that you have in your home. And a tub or a shower is a little bit smaller. I think you're getting down to, I believe it's a 2-inch that requires a shower. And then a tub is an inch and a half waistline. But no, you should be able to tie into that. But it depends on your municipality and what city you're in. But I would definitely check with, usually your city hall will tell you what's going to be allowed and what's not going to be allowed.
That would be the way to go to find out that it would be allowed, you know, that I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Because that is, if you're going to tie into that's a permitted project. So you would need to typically have a licensed plumber do that work.
Yes, yes. And it'd be tearing the floor up, of course, with the slab being on concrete.
Yeah, correct. You're going to have to tear some of that up and lay those waistlines and then patch it over again.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, great. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Well, if you want to join Richard, if you have questions and if you want to talk basements, summer's a good time to do that. 314-436-7900 is the number to call to join Jake Spurgeon with Mosby Building Arts and get your questions answered. This is a great time to get free advice.
Yes, we love it.
You know, what do you see the biggest problem for basements when people want to remodel them or put additions down in a basement?
One of the number one problems we have is individuals have to keep in mind for code purposes, we always do have to add, at least in St. Louis County, an egress window. That is required for escape in a fire or to have firemen get into the space. Your main staircase is not enough. And individuals forget that when they're doing design, that the little hopper windows they have is all they need.
It's not too complicated, is it, to add one of those?
No, not at all. Usually creating a window well and, you know, cutting a larger hole in the foundation and putting that window in. It adds a ton of sunlight and to the space and makes it feel more open and warm.
Does that create any water problems for your basement?
Typically not. We always will, if you don't have an existing perimeter sump pump system in your property that we can't tie into, we would put a well pump or a one that's in the window well that then pumps any water that might get in there to the exterior.
Well, Jake, we need to take a break and hopefully we'll have some folks call us with more of their questions. 314-436-7900. I'm Megan Lynch along with Jake Spurgeon with Mosby Building Arts on the Helitech Home Improvement Show.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
KMOX News Time is 11:18, and you're not hearing Scott Mosby, are you? It's Megan Lynch, and I am joined by Jake Spurgeon of Mosby Building Arts, and we can take your calls at 314-436-7900.
Well, we're going to hop right to the lines right here. We have Hazel, and she is calling about some concrete cutting, it looks like. Hazel, you there?
Hello,
Hazel. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on a cell phone and it just disconnects sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not hanging up on you. We'll just be disconnected. I was wondering if you would think it would be dangerous to have someone cut through our concrete in our lower level. I want two windows put in so we can bed as bedrooms if we ever go sell.
Correct. Anytime you finish a basement, you have to have that egress window.
Yes.
And then for bedrooms, you do need that egress in that bedroom space. No, it's
right,
not.
Right.
It's not unsafe to do. It is actually. You do have to have that engineered or have an engineer or architect take a look at that because
they do
have to put in like a lintel or sometimes a steel beam to support the concrete in the first floor and maybe second floor above that. So do get some expert advice because if it's not done properly, it's going to create some major problems for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And you're doing a lot of work on one of my neighbor's homes, so I thought maybe I'll just run over there and see what you're doing.
Yeah, you can definitely, you can stop by I don't know how well you know your neighbor, but you can ask when the project manager stops by to come take a visit.
I will.
You can call our office and one of us are happy to come out.
Yeah, I'm just very curious. I've always wanted, when we had the house built 34 years ago, I wanted windows put in then, and my husband said, no, we'd use too much electricity, blah, 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 blah. So, but I want the windows.
Yeah, and what's funny is newer homes nowadays, if you build a basement, you have to have an egress window. They will automatically put one in.
Yeah. The way it should be. Mm-hmm. Besides, it's beautiful, and to look out, we have woods, and it's very nice. Oh, well. Anyway, thank you. I might run over to where you're doing all that work.
Okay. Thank you, Hazel. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Hazel had a great question there. You do need to get some expert advice if you are thinking about adding an egress window. There has to be permits are pulled for that. You have to get usually an architect or an engineer involved. Because you have to show calculations to the local city hall or municipality on what you're doing and, you know, what's the floors above and steel beam or lintel or something usually has to go in. So that's really important to keep in mind. We're going to move right through here. Next, we have Ron calling. He is asking about the clearance code of a toilet. Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Ron?
Doing fine. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. It looks like you have a question about your clearance code for a toilet.
Yeah, we're doing a little remodeling in the bathroom, and I wanted to make sure that when I put in a new vanity, I had enough clearance between the side of the vanity and the toilet. I think there's a code that specifies what that distance should be.
Yes, minimum code for a toilet space, we'll call it, is actually 30 inches. That's 30, 2.5 feet. I always like to usually get that up to 36 if we can, but if you want to get the minimum space, that's 30 inches.
Okay, and it's county code?
That's actually international building code, which is, county, St. Charles, St. Louis, all the areas.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that answers that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Nice, easy question. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Bye-bye.
Okay, and then next we have Harry. He is calling about gutter guards. Harry, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for your program. I have these little plastic gutter guards on there now with the little holes in them. They don't seem like they do the good job, and I've seen or heard about some of these other guards, and I was wondering which would be the best for the gutters.
Well, usually they have a couple different brands out there. Mosby has a couple ones that we usually recommend that we can, you know, kind of show you how they work and what the maintenance of them is. The ones that you might refer to that you have, the kind of plastic ones, or it's kind of a mesh that's up there.
Yes, they just don't seem to do the job.
Yeah, they do work, but those large holes, the helicopters get caught in them. I used to have them on a past house, and it was annoying to get up there and clean off those little maple tree helicopters that I had.
I know what you're saying, yes, exactly.
But usually gutter helmet is one, and then there's another one that it looks like a window screen that we usually recommend at Mosby that goes over that gutter. And that one usually we find works the best.
So I could call your company and they could give me more the information I need for what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Our Our client experience coordinators in our office are happy to take calls and answer questions as well, Monday through Friday.
Okay, very good, sir.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Harry. I appreciate the call.
You bet. Thanks. Bye.
And if you want to call in and have your questions asked, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120, the lines to call in and be part of the Helitech Home Improvement Show.
Well, that was it's a good always to keep in mind that, you know, fall is going to be here before we know it, and those gutters will clog up fairly quickly. And it's when they get clogged, they create more issues, foundation issues, waterproofing on the exterior of the home, just having just that water on the outside of the house can create havoc if it's not controlled and remedied.
How many of us have thought your gutters were fine and then there's a downpour and you see crazy things happening, mm-hmm. you know, coming from your gutters, it's gushing out the side instead of coming down the spout and then you can't get out there and fix it right then, of course.
Yeah, you can't. Sometimes if you have a ranch home, you can quickly get out there with a ladder and hopefully it's not a metal ladder. But be able to, unclog that gutter pretty quickly. But it's, when I don't have gutter guards on past homes, I've always gone up there usually during the Christmas season or the holiday season, putting lights on the house and would clean out the gutters at that time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of gutter guards because you don't have to ever maintain it.
And then hopefully you don't have those foundation problems from having water that's not getting cleared away from your foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct. And then you got leaky basement and then there's problems from there. Well, next we have another caller, Tom. He is asking about some bathroom tile questions. Tom, are you there?
Yes.
How are you doing today, sir?
Fine, thank you. I have a bathroom, a tile in the bathroom that's probably 55 years old. And it's in very good shape. The only thing is that, you know, between the lines, it gets dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's like 1-inch squares, 2-inch squares, and 1x2 squares
mm-hmm.
in a random pattern.
Yep.
What's the best way to kind of clean that out and make it look kind of white again?
Yeah. So I will tell you what it sounds like with 50 or 60 year old bathrooms, the material that's in between the tiles is not actually a grout. It's actually concrete a lot of times. So once that stains, it's very difficult to get clean. So we usually recommend an acid clean product. Sometimes home stores carry it. Sometimes they don't. It's kind of a DIY thing that you can do. I would just really follow the manufacturer's directions. But it is possible to get it a little bit cleaner, but it's never going to look brand new.
Because
it's not.
What about vinegar?
You could use that, but I just don't think that's going to be strong enough.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because it's scratching these things clean. With this random pattern, it'd be a son of a gun.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time. But, it's depending on the size of the bathroom, it can have a big impact to kind of get it as fresh looking as possible.
Do you have to go over it with grout afterwards? Or
no, usually that acid cleaner will just kind of, it's kind of eating away any dirt that might be stuck in that concrete or grout, and it kind of brings it back to the what it would be as clean as it can. And then I would recommend sealing it also.
Mm-hmm. What, if you go to Home Depot, what would you ask for?
Usually it's going to be in the tile section where the grout and grout cleaner is. They're going to have usually an acid clean there that you can purchase.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
All right, Tom, I appreciate your phone call. We're going to take a break here on the Helitech Home Improvement Show. I appreciate your calls, and we'll get right back to you.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Well, actually, no Scott Mosby. It takes two of us to fill in for him, though, apparently. I'm Megan Lynch, along with Jake Spurgeon with Mosby Building Arts, and he's really the expert today that is handling your questions. You can join us at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Well, we're going to go right to the phones because we have quite a list of individuals waiting to chat with us. Next, we have Mary, and she is asking some questions about a wheelchair lift, it seems. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am. I have a 7-year-old atrium ranch walkout basement, drywall ceiling, finished. I'm interested. I need to put a hospital bed down in the middle of it. The hoist that I guess I'm Hoyer lift I'm talking about goes to the ceiling, and it's like one you see in a hospital that lifts up a patient from the bed to the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if there's any special things that have to be done to install one of these.
Yeah, typically the big thing to have those put in is it's going to need some anchor points and ceiling joists that it can attach to. It's not something that you can just use drywall anchors and then and go to town. It needs to be really attached to some studs. Sometimes, depending on the system, it could need additional blocking in the ceiling, wood blocking that it can hold on to. And in some cases, steel. So I would definitely, you know, have an expert take a look at the product and take a look at the manufacturer's recommendations to get that put in for you.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
I hope that helps, Mary. Well, next we have Paul, and Paul is calling and has some questions on some painting. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, sir.
How
glad
you
to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, how are you doing, sir?
Not real good.
What can we help with?
I removed a closet out of a room, and one room had this swirl textured paint in it.
Ooh.
Throughout, it's like a half circle swirl with high ridges in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this closet that I took out had sand finish in it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And there's no way I'm going to ever match them up, I don't think. I've tried drywall mud and stuff. And I'm trying to find a texture that I can add to paint and try to go over the whole ceiling to hide some of this.
To hide some of it. Yeah, it's those swirled textures and those heavy popcorn ceilings, we call them sometimes, are almost impossible to match 100%. You can get really, really close, and hopefully no one looks at it and notices the difference.
Well,
but an easy thing to maybe try is sometimes you can laminate over the ceiling with quarter-inch drywall and do the whole room if it's not too big. And that you might, and then you have smooth ceilings in there.
Yeah.
So
I hated to do that, but I was trying to find some texture, and I thought they always made texture other than sand, but apparently I'm not able to find anything anywhere.
Yeah, they do have some. The only things I'm familiar with that are usually for just kind of small patch areas is I believe I've had an individual in the past, a painter, do this on some holes in my walls and stuff that I needed repaired. It's an aerosol can that it comes in like an orange peel texture, is a knockdown texture, and then kind of a popcorn ceiling texture, heavy texture.
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually going to be in kind of your paint stores or your painting departments in your home stores.
You might
want to take a look at those and see if that can kind of help you out.
Well, it's a 10 by 12 room, so I don't know if
you might need a couple cans.
Yes, I think I would.
I'm not a painter myself, but a good paint store can really point you in the right direction kind of what products to use and what direction to go.
Well, I went to a paint store, and they gave me some cards, and so far nobody's called me back.
Well, Paul, if you're in the St. Louis area, there's Mosby can definitely do that type of work for you, or we can advise you to somebody that can, either way.
Okay. Well, I'm in the Fountain area around Gravelly Bluffs.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, give us a call, and we can definitely help you out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you.
Those textured ceilings can be a nightmare
to
patch in.
Well, and to scrape them, I can't imagine the mess of scraping one of those popcorn ceilings off.
It is. I had one time my wife and I decided to remove a textured ceiling in a house that we owned. And it is important, by the way, service announcement, to have it tested, actually, because if it was put in prior to 1975, it could have asbestos in it.
Okay.
So you got a health concern here. So do take a piece and have it tested. Most home stores or environmental companies, you can look in the yellow pages, you can drop off a piece and they'll have it tested for you. And it's really inexpensive to do that. That's one thing to do. Another thing, what we did is actually we took a shop vac and just kind of heavily scraped and vac. We duct taped a scraper to the end of a shop vac.
I love it.
And scraped the ceiling to keep the mess to a minimum because we were living in the house at the time.
Oh.
But it was the ceiling looked great afterwards, but it was an undertaking.
I can only imagine. Yeah, we've got the sand swirl ceilings, but they're real subtle, so they're a little bit easier to patch. Not as big of an issue as some of them are.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate all of our callers, and hopefully the next couple that we have on hold can wait for just a little bit. We're going to take a break here on the Helitech Home Improvement Show. Thank
you. Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby on KMOX.
Well, Scott Mosby has taken some time off, so his associate Jake Spurgeon with Mosby Building Arts is in here to take your calls this morning, and you can join him and ask your questions at 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120.
Well, we're staying cool in the studio here, but we have a couple individuals in line for questions, so let's get right to it. We have Janet here, and she has some questions about her concrete driveway. Janet, are you here?
Yes.
How you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. We had a concrete driveway poured about 15 years ago, and we've had problems with it ever since. It was spalling, and they came out and they resurfaced it with something, and that's spalling off, and we've got cracks in it. And I was just wondering, we would like to go to that exposed aggregate look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was wondering if it would be better to just tear the whole driveway out and start over again, or you see those ads that come through in home magazines and stuff to put the exposed aggregate coating on top. I just didn't know, since we're having such an issue with the driveway already, if that would be a good thing to do.
Yes, you can, you know, those companies that do that, but I always ask, you know, how long do you want it to last?
Forever.
Forever, then you need to take it out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to have to go through this again.
Yeah. Here's my concern is if it's not, you know, behaving like it should be from the beginning, then I have concerns that how is the gravel base under the driveway done? How did that company do it? What else did they not do correctly?
Okay.
That would cause problems even with your new resurfaced driveway. But I love the aggregate look. Always keep in mind, you do have to have those sealed. Aggregate driveways do have to be sealed. I have one myself. They look great. They hide dirt really well. It always kind of looks clean. But,
how often do you have to seal them?
I believe the product, most of the sealers are about a couple years, and it's pretty, it's DIY. It is, you know, get a bucket and a roller with a handle on it, and you're just kind of going to town.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you don't have to have a company come out and do it or anything.
Yeah. Usually the company that's going to pour your aggregate driveway, for example, they will do that first sealer, and you can have them come out and do it again every couple years.
Oh, okay.
That it might need it, but it's pretty DIY.
Okay. Can you recommend a concrete company, since we didn't do so well on the first pick?
Yeah, my favorite that Mosby actually uses all day long for our flat work driveways, patios, foundation is B&W Concrete. They've been in St. Louis for quite some time.
B&W.
They are fantastic.
Okay.
They pour concrete to, you know, have it perform the best that it can under the best circumstances, and they just do fantastic work.
And where are they located? Do you know?
I believe they're located.
You do know, but.
They're located in southern, southern St. Louis County.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
But
B&W.
Okay. They do great work.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Janet, for the question. I appreciate it. And next on the line, we have Larry, and he has a question about, some fireplaces, it seems.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Hi. So here's my question. Hold on. Yeah, we have a 27-year-old Heat-O-Lator wood-burning fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
It was builder's grade, and it doesn't throw out any heat at all, actually. Mm-hmm. But we're looking to see what would be an effective way to replace that fireplace. And we may want to redo the front as well, because there's some tile there that we are wanting to replace. Do you have any recommendations on which way to go? We've gone to some of the fireplace stores, and they're really interested in selling us the gas fireplace logs, but we're interested in staying with the wood burning.
Mm-hmm.
And just need your thoughts on that or any recommendations for an economical and efficient way to replace.
Yeah. That usually the only way that you're going to have heat come off of a traditional wood burning fireplace is if the box itself has a blower built into it. And that's the one thing about it. Usually if you want the most efficient to heat the room and also look good is the gas direct vent. And I know you're not a big fan of the gas, but it usually is the best way to heat the space and have the least amount of maintenance.
Okay. If my wife was very, very interested in the wood fireplace more than the heating of the room, any suggestions?
Well, yeah, you can actually put in a not a direct vent, because a direct vent is a sealed unit. You can't actually access it because it's pulling outdoor air in for combustion and then exhausting the fumes from that combustion. If you want that roaring fireplace look that you would get with a wood, then usually just a gas log set is going to be the best way to create that look and get heat off of it as well.
Okay.
Hopefully that helps you, sir.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Larry.
Bye.
And next we have on the line here is Jim, and Jim has some painting questions. Jim, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, you have a question on some lead paint, it seems.
Yeah, I think there might be lead paint in my house. Mm-hmm. It was built back in 1943, and I was wondering, can you take latex paint and just go over top of it to, like, seal it in place, or do you have to actually remove that paint before you start painting?
Yeah, you can actually paint over it. Just do not sand on that paint. Okay. And you can actually go to the home store and buy lead kits. They're like little vials that you would have to take a razor knife on the painted surface and cut through it and actually dab this. You know, it's got a felt tip on it, and it'll change colors if there's lead paint in it. And if it does have lead, then you just paint right over it. I don't do any sanding or anything on it, because then you're just kind of creating that lead dust in your home, and that's not good to do at all.
Okay, and we both have a mutual friend, so if you get a moment, if you could give me a call on my cell phone, it's the line I'm talking up on right now. If you could give me a call, I'd like to give you some information.
Okay, that would be great.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Jim. Have a good one.
You too.
And that was a great question that he had there about lead paint. It's any home that's actually built prior to 1978 also is typically you're going to have is a possibility that there could be lead paint in that home. Even though lead paint hasn't been manufactured for some time, a lot of stores had it on the shelves and it was getting picked up by contractors and being used. So it's important to, before you start sanding on any wood surfaces, to test it just to be sure. That's the most important thing to do.
Well, Jake, I'm jumping in here with you after Megan stepped out. Alex Ferrario with you, but I have a question for you. I was listening on my way down here. What's the majority of phone calls you guys get at Mosby Building Arts when it gets this hot out?
Typically, the big questions we get are not HVAC questions, but we get a lot of questions on additions.
Yeah.
Individuals are it's kind of like the wintertime. You're indoors for a long time, and we want to create some more space. Or if individuals have a patio that has no shade cover, or to create some type of, you know, pergola or covered space with that creates some shade, maybe with some fans to kind of get some air moving.
That seems to be the go-to, right? When it gets this hot out, people want the shade and they're out in the outdoors. Yeah. They want to be out there. They want to get the shade no matter what.
Correct.
Well, that's the way to go, I guess. Why not try and find some way to get shade going on? I also was hearing you guys talk about the popcorn ceiling, and that one intrigues me because I have popcorn ceiling, and that is just a pain in itself.
It is. Repairing it, maintaining it, it collects dust. It was a method so you could not have drywall cracks in your ceiling and everything. This kind of covered up that, but I think products nowadays have come to a much better state that a smooth ceiling will not crack.
And I got you.
Yeah. Now that we have humidifiers in our houses and we can keep that constant humidity and temperature inside, those flat ceilings will work.
As long as we're staying away from the popcorn ceilings, that's all that I care about in those houses.
We don't. Usually in a new build or in a home remodel, we're always going to recommend scraping those ceilings off.
That's awesome. Again, Jake Spurgeon here in studio along with Alex Ferrario, Mosby Building Arch. You can give us a phone call, 314-436-7900. If you have questions for Jake, any home improvement questions, it's the Helitech Home Improvement Show. We have a couple more minutes before the top of the hour, so bring your questions out to us as we have a caller on the line, Jake, that I believe has a question about how to keep their drains open.
Yeah, we have caller is, I'm going to butcher her name probably, but is Teresa?
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 It's
Teresa.
Real simple, Teresa.
Oh, sorry. I think it might be spelled correctly incorrectly on my screen here.
Anyway.
So how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing great.
I have a real simple question. I have heard Scott talk on his show more than once, more than twice, about using a certain amount of Ridex at certain intervals to keep your drains clean and open?
Correct.
And now, can you please tell me how much and how often?
How much and how often? I do know that you can use the Ridex to keep your drains clean, even if you don't have a septic system.
Right.
But I do not 100% remember what that ratio is.
Okay, I don't either.
I usually want to say that he just recommended to follow the manufacturer's recommendations on the packaging. And then usually it's a once a year thing he usually says to do.
Oh, but just once a year? That's all?
I think it's just once a year, but I'm going to have to double check with him on that.
Okay. All right. I wonder if I can just email your office and if they can tell me.
Yeah, you can email the office and he will probably have Scott reply personally.
Okay, that's what I will do. I will email the office.
Okay, thank you so much, Teresa.
Jake.
So, Jake, what's the phone number for everybody if they're out there listening to call Mosby Building Arts to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, our offices are located in Kirkwood. Our phone number is 314-909-1800. That's 1-800.
And everybody always talks to Scott Mosby usually here on the weekends, but a day off, and get a hold of somebody over at Mosby Building Arts with any types of questions. And that's kind of what this show is for right here, to bring your questions to everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if I always like to remind individuals, if you do not like to pick up the phone, you can email us, you can go to our website and contact us through there, or you can actually text our office
number. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we love technology at Mosby. We're pretty tech savvy with iPads and our computers and kind of paperless. But I love to tell individuals you can text our office at that 909-1800 number, and it's great to have a little text conversation.
There you go. Text, email, or phone call. You can get a hold of the guys at Mosby Building Arts. Randy's got a question for you, Jake, about lead paint. Randy, we got about a minute left.
Oh, I was just going to say that there's a product made by Insulex, INSL-X, called Lead Block, and you can just paint right over everything that's existing, and it'll seal that lead paint up for you so you don't have to worry about abatement and removal.
Yeah, that's a fantastic suggestion. I appreciate that, Randy. And it's great to, I love that we're talking about that lead paint, because it can be a big deal if if it's not taken care of, if you have kids in the house especially. It can cause some traumatic health effects.
Have you seen that before, where problems come in with lead paint?
Yeah. I mean, it's just important as, part of Mosby's process and, following the EPA regulations is to test for lead. And if it's there, just address it and cover it or remove it properly according to regulations.
Well, we got a lot more questions rolling in. Darren has a question about stoves. Darren, how are you?
Good. Hey, I've got a Buck stove fireplace. And it was my understanding that, with a Buck stove, you could stoke the fire up, close the door, leave the bottom vents open, and it would burn all night long.
Correct.
And no matter what I do, doesn't seem to, but when I close that door, it just snuffs the fire out.
Yeah, I actually have one of those myself. The way that we keep ours going is it usually has a damper at the bottom below the door that you can open. Some of them do. Does yours?
It's got, there's a damper there. I keep it open all the time, but it doesn't seem to do any good.
Yeah, the way to keep the fire going is to close the damper about to 90% that's in the flue, that damper, And then the one that's kind of at the doorway, you can usually, you can crack the door a little bit to create minimum draw in there. It's got to have a little bit of oxygen to keep that fire going.
Yeah, I usually, but like I said, when we go to, you know, stoke it or then want to go to bed at night, you know, I want to close that door all the way. The only way it seems to burn is if I leave that door cracked.
Yeah, some of those stoves have a vent somewhere that you can open up to kind of get a little bit of air in there without keeping the main door open. Every one is different, and it kind of depends on the product.
Darren, thank you for the phone call, sir. We have a couple more on the line, but we have to take a break for the top of the hour news. It's Jay Spurgeon in here of Mosby Building Arts, and we will be back after this on KMLX.